Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us his love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those actions that will gain his love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those who he loves. Alhamdulillah, this is our halaqah, the two migrations, a book written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah that we're studying every Wednesday at 7:30. Alhamdulillah, thank you everyone for joining me. Alhamdulillah, I know some people listen to the podcast, some people on Instagram with us right now, and some people on YouTube and Facebook. Alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair. So we're going to jump straight into where we left off in our last session. In our last session, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he was explaining about the process of gaining istiqama or consistency in religious matters. How can one gain consistency when it comes to upright speech, upright states of mind and heart, and upright actions? How can we gain that? How can we get that? And so if you turn your attention to the page on the screen, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he basically says, "Fi dhikri tariq al-musil ila istiqama fi ahwal wal aqwal." والأعمال. He says, you know, what is the way to gain that? He says, there's two things that you have to do. And we kind of introduced this last week, but now we're going to go into more detail about it. He said, there's two primary things that a person has to do in order to gain that istiqama or steadfastness, stick-to-itiveness in their religious actions. He says, there's two things. The first thing he says is, حراسة الخواتر وحفظها. Mindfully being careful. Harasa, guarding and being very careful about the thoughts, wa hiftiha, and guarding the thoughts. So harasatil khawatir, being careful about what we think about, being careful about what we allow ourselves to just daydream about and reflect on. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he says that this is a huge part of Islamic spiritual development, that you learn how to master and manage your thoughts and be very careful in particular about what you allow yourself to just daydream and think about. He says, Al-Hadr kullu hadr min imhaliha. He's like, I'm warning you, don't be lax in this issue. Do not relax when it comes to the thoughts. Don't chill. It's not a light issue. It's very, very important. He says, Al-Hadr. He says, be very careful. He says, فَإِنَّ أَصْلَ الْفَسَادِ كُلُّهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ He says, all goodness and all spiritual corruption, it comes from the thoughts that we allow ourselves to think about, right? It all comes from there. So Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he's like, be very careful about what you allow yourself to think about. He says, and this is, it's not on your screen because we're going to get to that in a minute. He says, لِأَنَّهَا هِيَ بَذْرُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَالنَّفْسِ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْقَلْبِ. He's like, listen, the thoughts are the seeds that shaitan plants. And so you got to be very careful. And the qalb is the land that they're planted in. So protect your land. Keep your land from letting weeds grow up in your land that you didn't want to plant there. And those are the thoughts that are put there. So then he continues. He says, فَإِذَا تَمَكَّنَ بَذْرُهَا. He's like, here's the thing. If you don't stop those thoughts from coming, like if you don't block them, then that seed will not only germinate, but that seed is going to take root. And when that seed takes root inside, he says, ta'ahadaha ash-shaytan. Shaytan just keeps watering that seed, keeps watering that seed, keeps watering that thought until it becomes an irada, something you want to do. I got to do this. I really want to do this. Then he waters it more until it becomes what? He says, azaim, a firm resolve that I'm going to do this action. And then after that, the action actually comes. And so now he says, wala rayba anna daf' al-khawatir aysar min daf' al-iradat. Here on the screen, you can see what I'm reading from. He says, undoubtedly, it's easier for me and you to check our thoughts than to check our desires and those things that we really want to do. You know, when you really, really want to do something, that is when the nafs takes over and it's so hard to check yourself. But if you were to check the thought right from the beginning, then that would have been a lot easier than having to struggle and wrestle with yourself over the strong desire now. So he says, فَيَجِدُ الْعَبْدِ نَفْسَهُ عَاجِزًا. You're going to realize you have no control and you're not able, كَالْعَاجِزْ عَنْ دَفْئِهَا بَعْدَ أَنْصَارِ إِرَادَ. After it's become something you really want to do and a deep desire, you're going to find that it is extremely hard for you to resist from it. You should have checked it when it was just a thought that popped up in your mind. So that's what we're learning here, and that's what he's teaching. And this is something that we, Muslims living nowadays on social media, you know, just out there, we got to be very careful about what we consume, because whatever we consume, whatever we allow to come in, those are going to leave impressions on our heart. And that has a deep effect on what we want, what we like, what we desire to do, what we don't desire to do. And so it's very important for us, you know, they say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know, it's very important for us to be very, very cautious about what we think about. And we're going to talk about how to do that. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi in this book is going to really teach us how to do that. He said, wa huwa mufarritun idh lam yadfa'uha wa hiya khatir dha'if. He's like, it's your fault, bro. Why didn't you push it away when it was a weak thought? Why didn't you push it, reject it when it was a weak thought? It's your fault. It's like someone who's, you know, carelessly playing with sparks of fire. And then when those sparks fall on dry wood, now it's this big flame. And now you can't put out the fire because it's so big. But it was your fault for letting the sparks just fly everywhere. So that's what he's saying. He's saying the fleeting thoughts are like those sparks. So it's important for us to control the thoughts. Once we're able to control the thoughts, then the irada, the things we desire, and the resolve, the things that we're like, I'm definitely doing it, those things become easier to check for us, inshallah. He says, فَإِنْ قُلْتَ فَمَا تَرِيكْ إِلَىٰ حِفْظِ الْخَوَاتِرِ. He goes, if you say to me, well, then how do I protect my thoughts? You know, we're all like, okay, Sheikh, I understand. You're like, yo, protect your thoughts. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he's like, well, how do you do that? قُلْتُ أَسْبَابُ عَدَّةِ. He's like, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a few things that you can do to learn how to protect your thoughts. I want everyone taking notes on this because this is really, really heavy stuff. Beautiful lessons from Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, number one thing, how do we check our thoughts? Number one, he says, الْعِلْمُ الْجَازِمْ بِإِطْلَاعِ الرَّبْ تَعَالَى وَنَظْرِهِ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ بِتَفْصِيلِ الْخَوَاتِكِ. He's like, the first thing I need you to realize and have inside of you is knowledge, firm, definitive knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. And not only that, Allah is looking at your heart right now. And He knows the details of those thoughts that are going on inside of you. That's the first thing. He says the first method to controlling the thoughts is knowledge. What type of knowledge? Knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching the thoughts. See, listen, man, we, subhanAllah, we live our lives in a way where we interact with people knowing they don't know what we think and knowing that they have to take the external. But we forget when we turn to Allah that that's not the case. The fact of the matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He's deeply aware. Min habl al-wareed, aqrab ilay min habl al-wareed. He's close. He knows what's going on. So number two is haya'uka min. After you have knowledge of Allah's awareness of those thoughts coming to your heart, the second thing that you have to build inside of you is haya. Haya is a word which means modesty, but a better word for this context is shame. And what do we mean by shame? You know, like when someone catches you somewhere you're not supposed to be, that feeling of shame, you like, man, I let them down, man. Astaghfirullah. You know, subhanAllah, one of my boys, whenever he would drive and like break a, like speed a little bit, or, you know, do something that's a minor infraction, you know, minor infraction driving, he'll always take off his kufi. He'll always take off his kufi, right? He's like, man, I don't want them to see a Muslim doing this, right? So he'll always take off his kufi. But he has that haya. So haya means this: once I'm aware, number one, once I'm aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching my thoughts, the next thing is I should have a sense of haya, like that shame, that astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of this thought that's going through my head right now. And that right there to me is a very important part of checking the thought. Number three step to training the thoughts, training and controlling how we think, is ijlaluka lahu an yara mithla tilka al-khawatir fi baytihi alladhi khalaqahu lima'rifati wa muhabbatihi. He says, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created your heart for the love of Allah. Like literally this vessel, this heart was created to be filled with divine love. That it was created to know Allah. It was created to know Allah. That's why nothing else in this world will satisfy it, because it was created to only be satiated by the love of Allah. And when you try to fill it with the love of all the creation, it just drips out. It just falls out. It doesn't hold. And the reason why it doesn't hold is because it wasn't created for those loves. They'll give you temporary pleasure. They'll satiate you for a moment, but they won't create that true fulfillment that we get through the connection and the love of Allah. So he says, once you realize that your heart is created for the love of Allah, he says, the next thing is that you should feel this sense of awe and shame and make it a big deal that how is this heart? He uses the word bait, a house that was created for knowing God. How is it that I'm allowing this house to be filled with these thoughts that are so disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You feel me? So what is he saying here? It's so beautiful. Number one, knowledge of Allah, seeing what's in the heart, knowing what's in the heart. Number two, a shame before Allah that such thoughts are in my heart. Number three, this kind of awe and like making it a big deal that this heart, which was created to know Allah, I'm allowing it to just be filled with all of this garbage of the world and these thoughts that I would never want anyone to see. So that's number three. Number four, خَوْفُكَ مِنْهُ أَن تَسْقُطَ مِنْ عَيْنِهِ بِتِلْكَ الْخَوَاتِرِ. He says the next method for controlling your thoughts, controlling the khawatir that comes, he says number one was what, guys? Knowledge that Allah is aware. Number two, a sense of shame before Allah. Like, how did I let that thought just stay there and think about it? No, that's not cool. The next thought is, wait, my heart was created to know Allah. How dare I let my heart just think about these things? No, that's not cool. Number four, and this is really important for controlling thoughts. He says, number four, fear. Fear that maybe this thought I'm allowing to just overtake my heart will drop me from a position of prestige in the sight of Allah. Like if Allah sees me with this thought, maybe I'm worried that just this thought that I'm playing with will be something that pushes me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, what are we studying here? We're learning methods, 10 steps given by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi to control the thoughts, how to control them. So he's like, you gotta be afraid that, hey, I can't just sit here, lay back and think about, you know, shorty or this thing or that thing, like it's no big deal. No, Allah is aware of that. And perhaps that thing can cause you to drop in the sight of Allah. So we're using this fear as a mechanism to motivate us to stop and control the thoughts that are coming. So that's number four. Beautiful advice by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, number five, itharuka lahu. He's like, number five is that you prefer إثارك له أن يساكن قلبك غير محبته. He's like, you should prefer, you should desire and want in your heart his love, not accompanied by anything else. That's the next one. He says, number five is that you should give preference. Like, I truly want that love of him to be in my heart instead of those other loves. Number six, he says, now this is important. Let's go to the next page. Let's see if you guys can see this. Yes. Number six, very important. Very important for controlling thoughts. He says, you have to fear. أن يتولد تلك الخطوات. You should be very worried about what that thought will give birth to. Like, remember, these thoughts are just like pearls on a necklace. They lead one to the next. And so he says, the sixth thing is you should develop within yourself a worry for what this thought right now will give birth to. ويستعر شراره, and what it will ignite. The passions and the feelings that it will ignite, seriously. فَتَأْكُلُ مَا فِي الْقَلْبِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْمُحَبَّةِ وَتَذْهَبُ بِهِ جُمْلَةً. He's like, this will ignite something in the heart and it will eat up some of your faith. And not only will it eat up some of your faith, it may completely take away your faith. So what are we saying here, brothers and sisters? What we're saying is that this sixth point is that really be aware, really be worried about what this one thought will give birth to, right? And again, it's about looking forward, saying this one thought here is not gonna come by itself. It's gonna come with a whole army of other thoughts. And if I fight this one, then I've already fought back the rest of the army. MashaAllah. Next one, number seven, he says, أن تعلم إن تلك الخطوات بمنزلة الحب الذي يلقى للطائر ليصاد به. All right, listen, sometimes when you're like hunting an animal, right, a person will put something down so it attracts the animal. When the animal comes, bam, I got him. He says, listen, Shaytan uses these thoughts just like that trap. He puts this thought there so that you can expose yourself, like that animal, you can expose yourself to go get and play with that thought. And while you're engaged in that thought, that's when the attack from Shaytan comes. So he says, what we have to understand, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كُلَّ خَطَرٍ, he says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كُلَّ خَاطِرٍ مِنْهَا فَهُوَ حَبَّ. It is just one of the traps that Shaytan is putting there for us to get caught up in. So now, yo, now it's about being a little woke, right? It's about being aware, like, okay, thought came to the mind. You're like, nah, bruh, I just listened to the halakha. I already know what you're up to right now. I'm good. I'm not going to go with that thought, because if I allow myself to go with that thought, then it's just going to pull me down the rabbit hole of negative thoughts that will take me out of my state of spirituality. One second, everyone. Let me just plug this in. And so that's what he's explaining right now. One second. Okay, I think we're good. Okay, so that's what he's explaining right now. He's like, realize that that one thought can be a trap just to suck you in. And once you're there, then you're just going down this rabbit hole of negative, poisonous kind of thoughts that come to us. All right, number eight. He says, أن تعلم أن تلك الخطأ خواتر الردية لا تجتمع هي وخواتر الإيمان. He's like, you gotta understand that those low, filthy, not healthy, negative thoughts will never ever occupy and come together in your heart with the good thoughts. So what that means is, whenever light comes, darkness leaves. Whenever darkness comes, light leaves. Whenever these negative thoughts come in, he's like, the thoughts about love of Allah, the thoughts about turning to Allah, all of those literally flee from the heart. They're gone. They can't be in the same place. He says, does that apply to negative thoughts about self? Negative thoughts about self are to motivate the self to become better. We're talking about thoughts that are things about that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That's the thing that we're mostly focusing on, kind of things that we're thinking about and they're not around the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes negative thoughts about the self, when you're like, wait, am I praying the way I should be? Am I, you know, do I have arrogance in my heart? Am I vain? Those things are to check ourselves so that we actually can be better worshipers and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's not a negative per se. It's negative only in the fact that it will check us, but it's making us a better person, bringing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're trying to find those negative qualities that exist within us. All right. So what does he say on point number eight? What he says on point number eight is you have to understand that if these thoughts are in the heart, then these thoughts won't be in the heart. So what does he say? This is important. He says, "Bal hiya dhidduha min kulli wajh." Realize that these thoughts are completely opposed to the thoughts of faith, iman, and love of Allah. So what happens? وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ فِي قَلْبٍ إِلَّا وَغَلَبَ أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبَهُ. He's like, the nature of the heart is that when they both come together, whatever one is stronger will overpower, and that is what takes over the heart. So what he's trying to say, وَأَخْرَجَهُ, it will kick out the other thing, وَاسْتَوْتَنَ مَكَانَهُ, and it takes over that particular spot. So what are we learning here? Let's make this one really simple. What are we learning here? What he's trying to say is that if you allow these lowly thoughts, these thoughts of desires, these thoughts of different, we can go on for days about what these thoughts are, but if you allow these thoughts to come into the heart, then you're not giving space for the thoughts of faith, iman, love of Allah, love of the Prophet, love of the Akhirah. You're not allowing those things to take root in your heart. It's just, there's too many weeds for flowers to grow. Right? There's too many weeds for flowers to grow. You're going to have to clear that out so that the flowers can grow. And when the flowers grow, there'll be no space for the weeds, right? So to speak. He says, so this is the case when it comes to lowly thoughts from the nafs. He's like, but the same thing is the case when it comes to thoughts given from the nafs and shaitan. He says, فِيهِ خَوَاتِرِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْمُحَبَّ وَالْمَعْرِفَةِ فَأَخْرَجَتْهَا. Whenever you have the thoughts of iman, faith, pleasing Allah, these will push out those other thoughts. لَكِنْ لَوْ كَانَ لِلْقَلْبِ حَيَاتْ لَشَعَرَ بِأَلَمِي. He's like, listen, the fact of the matter is, if you truly, like, if the heart had life, it would really feel the pain of these negative thoughts. But the problem is we've desensitized ourselves so much. We've desensitized ourselves so much. So we don't feel the weeds in the heart anymore. We don't even notice them anymore. He's like, once you connect to your heart more, you'll start to notice all those thoughts that are coming through your mind. And you're like, oh my God, like, what's up with all of this? Why can't I focus on pleasing Allah, you know, doing things that will please Allah, going for the Akhirah, loving the hereafter, loving the Prophet? You'll start to notice those other things, and then it will pain you. It will hurt. You'll be like, oh man, what's up with these thoughts? For most of us, we haven't allowed ourselves to connect to the self in order to feel that. So he says here, he's like, لَكِنْ لَوْ كَانَ الْقَلْبِ حَيَاتْ لَشَعَرَ بِأَلَمِ ذَلِكَ. He's like, if your heart was alive, you'd feel the pain of all of those other thoughts overtaking your heart when you truly need the love of Allah in your heart. Okay, so Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, for those joining us late, we are talking about controlling thoughts, how to control your thoughts. Why do we want to control our thoughts? We want to control thoughts because this is the primary way for spiritual uprightness. This is the most important method for gaining spiritual soundness, is controlling what you allow your mind to think about. And as I said when we first started, especially in the Instagram, social media, Facebook day and age, where our thoughts are by and large predicated on our media feeds. Whatever we're seeing, those are the things that are generating thoughts. So we need to be a little bit more conscious consumers about what we look at, because that will affect the thoughts as well. Number 10, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he says, you have to understand and know, أَنَّ تِلْكَ الْخَوَاتِرْ هِيَ وَادِ الْحَمْقَ وَأَمَانِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. He goes, listen, there are some people who can just daydream all day. There are some people who can literally daydream all day and do nothing but just sit there in their thoughts. And he says, this is complete, complete foolishness. This is a valley of foolishness if you just allow yourself to live in this realm of thoughts. He's like, it doesn't do anything except create remorse and regret for this person. And then when you allow yourself to be someone just completely absorbed in your thoughts, then that's where the waswas of shaitan takes over. So what is it? What's he explaining now? He's basically getting to the point where he's like, listen, the purpose of us controlling our thoughts is because at the end of the day, we want to have good actions, and actions are predicated by the thoughts that come before them. So what he's basically teaching us is there are some people who can literally just daydream all day and just live in a, like hours go by without any action. All they're doing is letting their mind daydream about this, about that, about this, about that, with no action. He's saying, be very, very careful about this, because this is where you waste your time, you waste your life. And he calls it a valley of foolishness. You're literally just thinking of random things that have no real consequence on your life here or your life in the hereafter. So he says, be very, very careful about the valley of foolishness, where you're just thinking about random stuff. And you guys know how it is. Like, every now and then we just want to relax and chill, you know, going through different memes and stuff, right? But, you know, if that's just to relax for a moment, it's great, right? You get your energy back, you chill out for a minute, relax your brain, and then you're back to important things, whether it be for your life or for your hereafter. But if you just live in this world of just thoughts and not actual action, then that's something that's not really good for our spiritual development, inshallah. All right, let's keep going forward, inshallah ta'ala. He's explaining again the same thing that we said. We said, فَإِنَّ الْأَرْضَ الْقَلْبِ, he says that the heart is the earth. Whenever the seeds are placed in it of faith, iman, fear of Allah, turning back to Allah, hope in Allah, whenever those seeds are placed and you keep watering the heart, then you'll see those seeds germinate, you'll see them take root, and then you'll see the fruit eventually from that. And so what does he say? He says, أَثْمَرَتْ لَهُ كُلُّ فِعْلِ الْجَمِيلِ. These thoughts will bring all of these good actions, right? All of these good actions will start to come from these thoughts that you planted very carefully and you watered them. مَلَأَ قَلْبُهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. Your heart will fill with goodness. وَاسْتَعْمَلَتْ جَوَارِحَهُ فِي الطَّاعَاتِ. You will begin to use your limbs in righteousness. وَاسْتَقَرَّ بِهَا الْمَلِكْ فِي سُلْطَانِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance will take over the heart. Now, last paragraph, very, very important. Let me turn the page for everyone here. Number 9, someone asked me to, oh yeah, we skipped number 9, yo. My bad, man. Yes, number 9. Someone asked me to go back to number 9. I just realized that we skipped it. He says, you should understand, أَن يُعْلَمْ أَنَّ تِلْكَ الْخَوَاتِرِ بَحْرٌ مِّن بُحُورِ الْخِيَالِ لَا سَاحِلْ لَهُ فَإِذَا دَخَلَ قَلْبْ فِي غَمَرَاتِهِ غَرَقَ فِي. He's like, understand and know that your thoughts are like a shoreless ocean, that once you jump in, you could just drown in your thoughts. And that's why it's very important for us to be like active in life, right? To just sit back and think, like they used to say, like an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that's what he's saying. He's basically like, if you're just a person who just lets yourself just sit there and the mind just go anywhere, he's like, thoughts are an ocean with no shore. And you will literally get yourself drowned in thoughts and be nowhere. You're just sitting in the same spot. And so it's important for us to use the thoughts to motivate action. That's the key. And that's what he's actually going to say on this next page. He says, listen, and we're going to wrap it up with this just in a few moments, inshallah. He goes, okay, check this. He goes, one second, let me move forward. Oh yeah, well, this last page I don't have for Instagram, but you can just listen to it, inshallah. He says, وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا تَحَقَّقْ طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ السَّالِكِينَ ذَلِكَ عَمِلَتْ عَلَى حِفْظِ الْخَوَاتِرِ. He's like, once people understood what we just talked about, how important it is to control the thoughts, people that were trying to better their spiritual lives, they completely focused on controlling their thoughts. وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ هُوَ سَيْرَهَا وَأَمَلَهَا. That is how they got close to Allah. They controlled the thoughts, what they let themselves think about. But he says, here's the thing. Hold on. We got to talk about one last thing. He's like, but there's a condition. You should never allow yourself to be trying to create these beautiful thoughts and leaving out the wajib and the sunnah, the things that we're supposed to be doing. He's like, if you find yourself, okay, let me build thoughts about iman, let me build thoughts about the akhirah, but you're not praying your maghrib right now. He's like, yo, that's from shaitan right there. That's not from Allah. That's not good. You've missed the point. Because the point of the thought was to generate good action. And what you just did is you missed the action for the thought. And that's the problem. And then he said, and this brings us to the second and last point. He's like, remember this. The thoughts are not the goal. They are a means to the action. And the action is what we are most concerned about. We want to create within our hearts good action. We want to create within our hearts righteous actions, on our limbs, righteous actions. In order to do that, we sow the seeds of good thoughts in our hearts. That allows us to eventually see the fruits of righteous actions on our limbs, inshallah ta'ala. So don't make the thoughts the goal. Understand that the thoughts are the means by which we inculcate within ourselves righteous actions. Lastly, brothers and sisters, heart to heart, brother to brother, brother to sister, it's extremely important for us to guide the eyes and the ears, because the eyes and the ears are the gateways to the heart. And this is where the battle takes place. You can look at it this way. You have a fortress, okay? Inside the fortress is a treasure. That treasure is your heart. That treasure is the love in your heart. It's surrounded by a fortress. And you got soldiers out there trying to guard the fortress from everyone that wants to get to the treasure. What's the treasure? It's your heart's love for things. It's your heart's desire for things. Once they get to the treasure, they got everything. Once shaitan gets love of wealth, love of the opposite gender, love of fame, love of attention, once that is on, they get that to the treasure, it's done. The fortress has been conquered. But guess what? You only have to check the thoughts once they get past the fortress wall. What I mean by that is, if you close the eyes, if you close the ears, then there's no way for them to get in. Once you open the eyes and you see that thing, you're like, oh, now they're in. Now we got to fight. Now we got to push them out. Get out, get out, get out, get out. But common sense would say, hold on, yo, hold on, hold on. I got a better idea. Instead of us constantly fighting thoughts and this army once it gets in the fort, why don't we just close the door to the fort for a little bit? Or why don't we open the other door to the fortress for goodness, support to come in so that can come and overcome our heart? See, that's the point I'm trying to get everyone to understand, is that if we actually are more proactive about what we allow our heart to focus on by what we allow our eyes and ears to let in, this is, brothers and sisters, the primary battle that we have to fight. This is the battle that we have to be more worried about. This is the front line. And then once the soldiers get into the fortress, now we're pushing away thoughts that we don't have, right? So that's what I wanted everyone to kind of realize. Control the eyes, control the ears. When you do that, you've gained a lot more ability to control what the heart is thinking about. But even then, when the heart is thinking about things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and things that will gain you the love of Allah and closeness to Allah, that's when we really got to push these things away and try to sow the seeds of righteousness. When there are weeds in the flower bed won't grow. If you take the weeds, more flowers will come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon what was said, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand that the primary battlefield that is taking place is the battlefield for the hearts of humanity. And if we can truly get our hearts connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll realize we have secured the greatest treasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to humanity. And that's the heart's ability to love anything. But the only place that that treasure, that love should be directed is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us His love. May Allah give us the actions that will gain His love. May Allah alleviate the suffering of the oppressed around the world, Muslims around the world, everywhere that are suffering. We ask Allah to make it easy for them. We ask Allah to alleviate them, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa akhru da'wana an alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Thank you for joining me every Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, as we continue to go through this beautiful book by Sheikh Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, so that our hearts are guided in that migration back to Allah. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys next Wednesday. Jazakumullahu khair. For this week, make sure, protect those thoughts. Make sure they're directed in the positive direction, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.